Welcome to Jewish History with Rabbi David Katz, connecting the human side to Jewish history. For sponsorship opportunities or to support this podcast, please visit our donate page at www.support.rabbidavidkatz.com.
Hi, it's Friday morning, and since it's already Hanukkah, my juices are flowing, so I want to share a point or two. I think very nogea, it strikes me as something really remarkable and striking about the current situation, and I'm doing this as part of the series, I guess, the Ashkava side for Mishpacha Stefanski. We thank them for the sponsorship. And both of us are getting ready for weddings, which is a nice simcha. I'll tell you where I'm coming from. As I think you probably know, there's this whole brouhaha that the presidents of Harvard and Columbia and the other universities were unclear, you understand? When they testified, they said, is anti-Semitism wrong? He said, well, it's Ventzach, you know, like this, like that, and everybody's all angry. And it goes to show you the lack of moral clarity, to use the current cliche, that's among the elites. And more than that, we see a huge number of people that are being influenced by all these Amalekim that are constantly marching and demonstrating and attacking Jews and certainly attacking Israel. And there's so many people I know, from and out from, they're sort of like taken in by this to one degree or another, and they're saying maybe they're right. And what about this time and that time? I said already a month ago, don't watch Al Jazeera. You know, that's what they want you to do. Everything that the other side does is planned. It's really directed. I think, like from, you know, like from Russia or something. I know it sounds crazy, but I'm not crazy. And it's very cleverly directed, you know, and it's all towards a goal. And we're not used to this in America, because America's like, you have your vote, I have mine. You say your opinion, I'm interested. We have a dialogue. And the propaganda is coming from the other side is not interested in dialogue. They're putting out unilateral statements. And since they say it over and over again, people start to believe it or buy into it, such as, you know, Israel does not have a right to defend itself. The Russian foreign minister said it first. Hear what I just said? The Russian foreign minister, right? And now you see it repeated by all the Arabs in America. Israel does not have a right to defend itself. Plus, they lie about October 7th now, La Hadam, you know, Lahoya Dwar Me'olam, and all kind of things like that. They're just playing checker. So why is somebody interested and say, I want to hear what the other one says? You understand? But I can't, even my own kids, I mean, you can't persuade people to tune out of it, meaning as a tactic. They're doing everything they're doing as a tactic. So we should do one, well, we do as a tactic, but in the information age, in the computer age, in the internet age, it's kind of hard to get that across. And they have a well-funded, constant stream of propaganda their way. And we do not. No, we sort of, you know, rely on individuals stepping up to the plate and doing it on their own. Some better and some worse. And the reason I mention this is Hanukkah is interesting in many respects. And one of them is the famous question, you know, what exactly was the tumah of the Greeks? Timu kol hashmanim. And from a technical point of view, you know, a guy's not matame and, you know, there's no Tumas Ohel, Kiryak and Matam Bohel, and all kind of business. And there are many answers. And one I just saw the other day, although I couldn't find, he said the name of the Pre-Chadash, that the Tumah of the Greeks was associated with Znus or something like that. I looked inside and didn't find it in the Pre-Chadash. But whatever the case is, there's something, you know, sort of unique about the Tumah of the Greeks. Let's put it that way, of the Yavanim. And if you think of it on a wider scale, tumah involves the word of infection. You get it? You get tumah, you get infected with the tumah. And so this is just an idea that grabbed me, because I'll tell you where I'm coming. We have a two-pronged war going on. One is a physical war, and one, which is no less important, is an information war. It's a propaganda war, is an ideal war. And just as they messed us over in the physical war, although Israel's fighting back now, right? It's mamish like Yaakov fighting with the angel of Esau. Yeah, he did get wounded. So we certainly got wounded. And we're suffering casualties. Obviously, you know this as we speak. So in the same way, it's true of the propaganda war, you might say. And Rabbim Chalolim Mepila, in my personal opinion, I think a lot of people, a lot of Jews, especially the non-from, but even among the from, are really, you know, won over by the argument of the other side. And you see, certainly in the liberal journals, you know, the forwards and all these other places, they say, you know, the Palestinians are also right, and, you know, and Israel shouldn't be doing this. And you see nonsensical statements, you know, I hate Hamas, a lady said, therefore I'm in favor of a ceasefire. It's nonsensical. You get it? It does. Literally. Now, why is this so? How is this so? So it makes me think of the Rambam in Igeres Teman, where he says his famous beginning essay, which is very brilliant. And you will recall, perhaps, that I think most of the people listening to the podcast probably are familiar to some degree or another with the famous episode that the Rambam sent to Yemen when they were persecuted back in the 12th century by Muslims. Even now, right now as we speak in Israel, in Yemen they're shooting missiles at Israel. I know you know that, the Houthis. But in the time of the Rambam, there was a big Jewish community there, and they were subject to a major Shmad, and he wrote him a letter to be mechazik them. It's very famous. And he laid out his general philosophy, you might say, of history and of Judaism as he saw it. And one of the points he makes is as follows. He says that Das Kitsas Bnei Amenu Ne'adar V'Nisbalbala. It's exactly what's going on now with the Gaza war, with the Hamas. The part of the Jewish people are all messed up. They're confused. Ne'adar V'Nisbalbala. V'Nola Vovam. And their hearts are going all over the place. That's exactly what's going on now. V'Yischad Shalom Sufik. V'Nisalfa Svarasam. You understand? In other words, they're being weak in the intellectual struggle. There's a military struggle, that's one thing. And then there is a political and intellectual struggle. And at the very least, you don't let yourself get swayed by that. Some Jews are weak and some are strong. They haven't departed from their faith and they haven't gotten weak and all the rest of it. And he said that that's already predicted in Daniel. Okay? Where it says, that Daniel predicts a time when it'll be the Jewish people will be tried sorely, subjected to a certain trial, in this case, trial of ideas. And he says, Yitzar for Rabin, Vishu, Rashan, Belo Yavinu, Kol Rashan, that the many will not understand what's going on. Notice they'll buy into false ideas. Hamaskil miyavino, the smart ones will be able to understand. They will understand that you know what's right and what's wrong, but not all Jews. And he goes on to say that even some of the from will start to have sveikas. Exactly what's going on now. Shafil hamaskil hahema v'mevino shem tzaris amdu kenegdom yavrolim tzaris kashib rothman ashonin. They'll also go suffer through hard times. Achi yischadish lehem suffik. They will also have a suffik. Okay? Now, the way the Rambam explains it is by saying, listen, let's start from basics. Zohi atorah mitis, shenetin la'idik adon kol nevim rishon nachronim, the Torah of the Moshe Rabbeinu, shebezos atar hivdilon mishar b'nei olam, and we're different because we got the Torah and the others didn't. Not because we're better than them. This is the Rambam, not the Kuzri. This is not Chassidus. We're no different than any other nation. We just got lucky. Because of Abraham Yitzchak Yaakov. All right? And because he picked us and not someone else. And at the end of the day, that is the basis of the Jewish claim to Israel. You hear what I just said? That is the basis of the Jewish claim to Israel. And, you know, he revealed that we're the chosen people and in the chosen land. So because of that, The guy had been mekane us, had been jealous and zealous against us, kinah gedola, religious and political and territorial. And as a result, all the rulers of the different nations, because of this anger and jealousy, have undertaken to be malachites, to press us, to attack us, and to stir up against us all kind of sitin of eva, which we would call today anti-Semitism, or you want to use the polite word, anti-Zionism. Is this not exactly what's going on? Or it's certainly lachem Hashem b'lasas m'mariva imo, and really what they're doing is fighting with God, because the Torah, the Bible says it goes to the Jews, and even the Quran, if you want to get down to that, if you really want to get down to it, says it goes to the Jews. But they can't stand that, and therefore they're fighting against it. But he's God, you can't beat him. And that makes him angrier, you see? Now he's giving a mass psychology assessment. There has never been a period in Jewish history since Moshe Rabbeinu. Then any powerful Geisha king, powerful in this way and that way, who hasn't tried to be soser the Torah and be hofech it, turned upside down, either through onus or nitzachon or becherev, which is what's going on at this moment. The dumb Jews who don't see this just simply refuse to accept that they're being threatened in their lives. But little by little, they're getting it, especially if you're on a campus, but even elsewhere, if you're in a restaurant, little by little, they're getting it. Come on, Molik, Sisus, Ancher, Nebuchadnezzar, Titus, Adrianus, Harbikios, man. Zeo no echad mishne anoim sheis kavno tzech tfilas. That is one of the one prongs of the two-pronged attack. That's the point I want to get across. The Rambam says that it's the destiny of the Jewish people because we were chosen and others weren't. That's going to get people angry. The same way Joseph's brothers were angry at him. And therefore, it's going to be a two-pronged attack. Some nations will attack in one prong, which is physical, right? That's one of the two prongs to try to frustrate the divine plan. But then there's a second attack, and that is the propaganda attack, the political attack, the internet attack, which is very effective, including among the Jews, right? I'm watching what's going on now in the last 2 months. It's amazing. And pretty soon, you're going to see liberal Jews of a certain type say, October 7th didn't really happen. How do you really know? How do you know Israel didn't fake it? That's what they're going to talk about, okay? This would be the more intelligent of the nations. And the more intelligent of the cultures out there. Meaning in history, you have, I guess the Rambam would assess it as superior cultures, inferior cultures. You know, it's okay to have your local culture, but that doesn't mean it's going to have worldwide impact. So, I mean, the Navajo Indians, I got nothing against them, but it's not going to have a worldwide impact. On the other hand, Edomim, Parsim, Vayivan. Isn't that interesting? Edom is the West. Parsim is Iran. Whoa. So look what he says is the tactic of Iran. Hayivonim, what is the tactic? The propaganda route, okay? The world of the attack in the world of ideas. So much so that you'll even be able to persuade this so-called smartest people, such as the presidents of elite universities, who are supposed to be the smarties of the smarties, and they won't know anything. She'elu k'moy kain, shamu kavanos and list dosenu. They have the same goal, which is to uproot the Torah. Well, hafer Torah senu. What do you mean, hafer Torah senu? What are the Arabs saying, the Hamas, for example, vis-a-vis the Jewish claim to Eretz Yisrael? They say it doesn't exist. It's not true. It's a lie. That's what they say. It says in the Torah, the whole Torah is a lie. How do you know? We know it. You get what I'm saying? That's the law. The whole attack on Israel is, among other things, a whole attack on the Torah. I mean, that's what it is. Lister dosenu, l'hover Torah senu, betainis shatom eleha, coming up with all kind of arguments. Ubekushios shemacharbim. There's all kind of kashas on the Jews that they put together. This is the tactic. You know, the Jews stole the land, the Jews, the Nakba, this, that, and the other. This second group, which is doing the propaganda war, the war of ideas, their magama, their goal is lahofer haTorah, v'limchos ikvosel bechiburim. They do it through words, through books, or as we would say today, through tweets and through Twitters and all that kind of junk. K'moshes kavnu anosim milchamaseim. They have the same goal as those who go the physical war route. Just these group is using the war of words, of ideas. V'lozeh gets lozeh, and the Rambam says, being a firm Jew, he says neither one will be matzliach. Because Hashem promised it won't work. Where does he say that? The famous pasuk in Isaiah where it says, "Kol kli yutzar alayich lo yitzach, v'chol loshon tokum yitach l'mishpat tarshi." You hear what it says? Again, "Kol kli yutzar alayich lo yitzach," any weapon forged against you will not be successful, will not be matzliach. "V'chol loshon tokum yitach l'mishpat tarshi," and any verbal propaganda language against you, tarshi, will be frustrated. "Zos nachos avdei Hashem tzidkosam iti Hashem." That's a promise from Hashem, right? And he goes on to say, "Shagoyim hamiskav neshnei yulei kamonos." Both of these groups, Group A and Group B, the as we would to use current jargon, the military wing of Hamas and the political wing of Hamas, and which is much bigger than the military wing, all b'daita shabinis in ochleyars. They're both aware that this business, the Judaism, Israel, the rest, is not easy to knock down. But nevertheless, they're willing to put in the full-scale effort to knock it down anyway. Al bishkein, osu achva laros yisodos ados shup ma'benimun. They've all gathered together to knock down, to uproot the yisodos ados, which were put together by God. Ve'im b'chol zemosi yigiv hetzev, and they'll give it everything they got. They'll give it Yegiv Etzev, they'll give it all their kaiches, v'abinyin yam l'cheskoso, but it won't work. The binyin will remain, v'emes yahatel behem b'yisrach, and emes will laugh at them, meaning HaKadosh Baruch Hu will laugh at them, he says, shem heim miskavdim chalisha sichlam kavona shein lo tachlas. Now, I wish it was as simple as that. And then finally he gets the third one, which is the religious route. V'yachach ischacha kata cheres, a third prong, shemagadlet es minyan amir chayin b'shnei kitos, they cause a lot of trouble, and that would be Christianity and Islam, meaning they come from within Judaism, but then they use it to subvert and overthrow Judaism. Okay, so tachbula nifla, as he calls it over there. In other words, the Rambam is pointing out, and he talks about Yeshu and Muhammad and all the rest of it. You can look it up yourself, but he's pointing out the fact that the Jews throughout their history, including the current war, have always had two kind of assaults, a physical and an intellectual. And it's hard to tell which one is worse. Meaning, obviously nobody wants a physical assault, and I get that, that's like Hitler, you know. But on the other hand, the ideational assault, the world of ideas, is pretty powerful, and that can override it also. B'tainus shetoni b'chibrim. Now, he says, you know, that it doesn't work. You never know. I hope the Rambam's right. There are plenty of people that fall for it, and plenty of Jews that fall for it. But then again, he says it's predicted in Daniel that only the maskilim yavino, and even the maskilim will go down the tubes after a while. In other words, you're foreseeing over here the fact that you have to be aware. This is what he's writing to the Jews in Yemen. Why is he writing all this? He says you have to realize that you have a two-pronged problem to deal with if it's a missionary campaign. And that's what was going on at that time, a missionary campaign. What is it? You have to worry about your physical security. I get that, right? And that's why Israel is involved in a major war. I mean, I understand that. So do you. The other one is you have to realize that you're in the other kind of war, the second prong of the two prongs. By the mechudadim, by the clever ones of the enemy. Right? It's not some, illiterate farmer that's, putting out all these tweets and things like this. Mechudadim, they're very evilly intelligent people. Again, as I understand it, based on what I'm reading, I think the Russians are behind it, and maybe the Chinese. because they're experts in what we call disinformation, and they're experts in what Rambam is talking about here, of using words as a weapon. And the Jews and Israel is not used to this. You understand? I mean, I'll ask you the following question. Do most people believe that it was the Arabs that blew up the hospital, or do they still think Israel did it, even though they kind of proved it? Right? They think, you know, Israel did it. By the same token, ask most people who blew up the 9/11. They'll say Israel did. You understand? How can you do a thing like that? I'll bring you proof. It's not good enough to bring proof. You understand? When you're out to win an argument, which is a mental argument and an emotional argument, you hear what I said, an emotional argument, the plain, you know, facticity of things doesn't win the argument. You would think it should, but that's only in mathematics. You understand? In the world of politics, it's a lot more than that. And the constant haranguing and saying phrases is trying to create a new reality, and it is doing so. A little while ago, you couldn't say anything anti-Semitic. Now you can. A little while ago, you could at least say, listen, Israel's right to defend itself. No, now it doesn't have a right to defend itself. You hear that? That's a ridiculous statement. I'm putting it out anyway. And if I say it enough times, and enough people go along and follow it, and believe me, the liberal Jews and those will eventually go along with this, right? Not the good ones, but the bad ones. There are plenty of those. They'll go along with it, and they'll say Israel doesn't have the right to defend itself because it's a colonialist nation, this and that and the other. Or as the placards say, what do you expect? This is part of the process of decolonization. Meaning that you are saying Tarte de Sastri. On the one hand, I'm condemning Israel for violating basic international moral norms, like shooting at civilians. That's what they say. But on the other hand, if you say, well, Hamas is doing it, we say, no, Hamas can do it because they don't have to listen to international norms. They're fighting an anti-colonialist war. But you just told me before, wait a minute, Israel has to follow the international moral norms and the other side doesn't. Yes, that's right. But how can you say it's inconsistent? No, it's not. You see what I'm saying? You're not dealing with a logical over here. Because on the point of logic, it doesn't stand. But you are dealing with the point of using words as rhetoric. In other words, as weapons to get to the other side. That's what rhetoric is. To use words as weapons. Now, for some reason, Israel's not organized well for this. I don't think we ever have been. That's maybe up to Rabban Shalom, you know. Israel doesn't get its message across, except among those that it does. But the Hamonam, and especially the young people, as you know and I know, the young people, they are not seeing it that way. This seems to be the same thing happened in time of Hanukkah. Okay? Where, as you know, there was a physical attack on Jews? Yes, there was. No question about it. And all the tortures that we talked about in the Khan and the Seven Sons and all that, that's true. Okay? On the other hand, just from the physical attack, there was, as the Rambam himself says, you know, an intellectual attack. That Judaism doesn't make sense. That, as the Gemara says, there are certain rituals in Judaism, the Dumas Olam can make fun of us, and I can understand it. Go explain to somebody the Sur La'Azazel, for example. And that's the Gemara Yuma says this, right? There are aspects of every single religion out there that make sense and aspects of every single religion out there that don't make any sense. You see? That's the way any phenomenon is going to be. How do you use that in your propaganda? You get what I'm saying? How do you use that in your intellectual war? Looks like the Greeks did a pretty good job, I'm sorry to say. And this is, I think, what it means. Timu kol hashmanim, that they were metame the oil. I think that means that, in other words, in the world of ideas, they infected. They were metame. Meaning people walked away with a lot of Greek ideas, as we do today. There are not a lot of norms within Torah. And everybody's affected, me, you, and everybody else. There are a lot of norms within the Torah that don't jive with the norms in the in other societies, I would call the Greek society, the Western societies. You don't feel comfortable with it. You understand? A firm guy does it, okay, you do it. I mean, you follow it then, but you don't feel comfortable with it. That means they got to you. I don't sound like a mashgiach in a yeshiva or anything like that, but there is some truth to this idea of the penetration of the in the ideas, then ordinarily who cares? But here it cares, you know. Here it cares in the sense of this affects the national security of the state of Israel and the national security of the Jews in America. You know what I'm saying? It's not just a question of, you know, you keep this din in Shabbos or not. I mean, here you're talking about life and death because these demonstrations are not going to go away. I knew this from the beginning. I think I said it here a couple months ago. People forget, I think, every time there's been a war, especially since 2000 or so, when there's a lot of Arabs here and supporters, they've done these sorts of things. Except that the other wars lasted a week or two, so when it died down, it died down. Here, the war's been going for a couple months, and according to Israel, it's going to go another couple months. I mean, I can't believe that, but it says it's going to go for another couple months. It's just built up the other side more, and their rhetoric is going to get even harsher. And because so many people say it, and because they carry on so much and demonstrate in Congress and the universities everywhere else, the screaming is going to have an effect. So that sometimes the whining and the screaming is an interesting tool. In other words, it does work. It gets to people's minds. Baruch Hashem, the Baruch Hashem made it that Biden hasn't fallen for this yet, and the Congress is run by these Republican guys, whether you like them or not, they're pro-Israel. I mean, you saw that with the way they interrogated the university presidents, right? But, you know, coming up now is an election in 2024, and I can guarantee you that the Arabs and their supporters are working now to affect the races. Me, myself, and I suspect that you'll see some candidate pop up in a Democratic Party, because that's more shyach to them, who will not be like Biden, be pro-Israel, be anti-Israel, and they're going to push him, and the media will start pushing like crazy, the way they tried to push Bernie last time. They tried to push Bernie last time, because that would be their dream, to get somebody that they like into the White House. That would be the end of Israel. You understand? It's a thin line that they're holding on to, the Israelis. So the Hanukkah story, therefore, it seems to me, very much in line, especially in the second no and the second prong that the Rambam speaks about, very much in line with patterns in Jewish history. And, you know, if you look around now, of course, there are casualties of the physical war. I think there are more Jewish casualties of the propaganda war. That's what I think. There are more Jewish casualties. No, more Jews are being persuaded than the other one. And you can tell by the ones that push for the ceasefire. And there's all this other kind of stuff. And it makes you sick to read all these things. And sometimes I don't, but sometimes you can't help it. I'm talking about the Jews who fall for this. And if your own people don't feel like, you know, you did right, then how are you going to expect others to side with you? But it's a challenge. Anyway, that's why I think that Hanukkah has these interesting, parallels with the current Masav. And again, I'm not speaking about Rav Man Matim and all the rest. I'm speaking about, the information war. Maybe in the information war, maybe in the propaganda war, we need Rav Man Matim, Tamer, or Shon Biad Oski, Sarazaga. That would be okay with me. How that happens, I know, you know, the Bon Shalom runs the world, and we're all going to find out, how that works. But, Ben Gurion used to say like this: in order to be a realist, you have to believe in miracles in Israel. So there's a lot of that that's true right now. And hopefully, as the situation unfolds, especially if Israel is able to finally win that war and get rid of the Hamas, it'll bring its own problems in its wake, but that will at least, clear the air to some degree. We shall see. Anyway, as I said before, I want to thank Mishpachas Stefanski for backing this today. And ordinarily, I usually speak about Hanukkah in the context of Parshas Vayeshev and that sort of thing. But today, this strikes me as I see all these business about the, as I, what I call the propaganda war, especially with these leading American intellectuals. It's very interesting, very eye-opening. I just hope that other Jews, their eyes will be open and see it as well. Anyway, with that, have a Feliz Hanukkah and a good Shabbat.
For sponsorship opportunities or to support this podcast, please visit our donate page at www.support.rabbidovidkatz.com.